Happy Father's Day.
And good morning.
Isn't this beautiful? Praise the Lord. Let's give him a hand clap. Praise the Lord for Children's Church. Today is a wonderful day to celebrate our fathers. And we each have a father. We have an earthly father and we have a heavenly father who loves us so much. And today we're going to be talking about the love of our heavenly father. Turn with me to Psalms 103. Verse 13, and we will stand for the reading of God's word when you get to Psalms 103, verse 13. Psalm 103, verse 13, and we will stand in reverence to the word of God. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for your word. Psalms 103, verse 13 says, "As a father shows compassion to his children, so the Lord shows compassion to those who fear him." Let us bow our heads. Heavenly Father, we come to you. Our Father, our Creator, and we praise your name. You are wonderful, God. Thank you for caring for us and being so compassionate towards us that you would make a way for us to know you and that you would reveal yourself to us in your great and mighty love, drawing us to you with love and compassion and mercy. Bless this service today in the hearing of your word. Hide me behind, Lord, and you shine forward, God. In the name of Jesus, I pray, God, that your will would happen today in our lives, that we would not leave like we came, but that we would be changed from glory to glory, and that we would grow in you and in your family. This beautiful family of God. Empower us for your service, Lord, each and every one of us, as we are strategically placed. Show us and lead us where to go, Heavenly Father, because you are our Abba, Father. You are our source of strength. You are our high tower. You are God Almighty. In Jesus' holy name, by the power of the Holy Spirit, we pray together, amen, amen, amen. You may be seated. So I did not know that my father was going to be here today. Bless my soul, Daddy. And my introduction is quite a bit about him. So we call our dads different things. Some of us call them father. Some of us call them dad, daddy, pops. I think I tend to call dad or daddy sometimes. And when I speak of him in certain places, I call him father. It's a precious relationship to have when you have a daddy that loves you. Not everybody has a father who loves them. But that's not what God intended. And our Heavenly Father loves each and every one of us, and we'll talk about him quite often today. My dad worked hard. He was a very hard worker, and he worked hard, and he worked hard at working hard. He burned the midnight oil. Wouldn't be anything when I was a little about 7, to look out the window and hit the light would be on in the shop where he was working at 2 a.m. on trucks. I was sometimes his little helper. I remember enjoying handing him tools when he's under the truck, and he would tell me, hand me the wrench, hand me this 5/16 or 5/8 or whatever he would say, and I would find it and I would hand it to him, and then he'd give me the next tool and I was his helper. And that worked out until my nails mattered more. And he said, okay. I also carried coffee to him in the mornings from the house over to the shop. And I remember trying to be very careful. It was like a big challenge not to spill the coffee on the way as you're walking when you're little. But I loved to do that. I remember walking in his footsteps in the snow. I was raised a lot of my life in Ohio, and the snow would pile up, and he would walk to the shop. And I enjoyed trying to reach the next step to get my foot in his footstep. Fond memories I have of my relationship with my dad and his influence in my life. Thank you, Daddy. I learned from him how to work and what it means to say what you mean and do what you say and do it honestly, with integrity. I watched my father build and fix things all, he's still doing this, all of my life, build and fix things. And in my heritage with my family, we knew that God did this. God gave him this ability. Mom would often talk about prayer, and Dad and Mom would pray over their meals. There's several things I could stand here and say today about my father and my parents. Good things that God did for me. He is so good to us. Things that God used to help shape my life, pattern my life. I patterned my life out of the things that I learned from my dad. Now, my dad taught my husband when he came to work for him. My dad taught Roger many things, basic skills and things that built onto what Roger's dad had taught him. He had his dad's gone on to glory. He had a precious dad that was a cut up and ornery. If you see any orneriness in Roger at all, it came from his dad. And Roger taught his sons and our daughter. Now I see my sons and my daughter, my sons teaching their children, their daughters, and their sons. It's a wonderful thing to have this heritage, this family. And families are not always like this that I'm sharing. Families are all kinds of groupings of people together. Sometimes they're adopted in and engrafted into the family unit, and they're hand chosen. And God is the one who is sovereign over all of these things. Good to us. I remember when I was sick, my daddy would put a coat on me. I remember him putting my little blue coat on me. I was so sick because I was allergic to somebody's cat. And my eyes were swelling shut, and I remember how it felt when he put my coat on quite quickly, zipped it up, pulled the hat up, and I was feeling very hot, and he swooped me up, and he's got me up in the air. So I was pretty little with a vivid memory of this. But my daddy took care of me. You know, we call our dads heroes. I remember sitting on the floor, putting together my first bicycle on a Christmas morning. I remember the occasionally, and this is precious to me still today, he will pick a flower out of nowhere, you know, just pick a flower, it won't be a special day, but all of a sudden, I've got a flower from my dad. I always want to be able to keep it alive forever, keep that flower, but the memory of it is wonderful, so I take a picture of it. Today, as we look into the Word of God, we're going to see some examples of fathers. And the first one we're going to look at is Abraham. So turn with me to the book of Genesis, chapter 22, and we're going to look at a moment in the life of this father, in a 3-day journey, Genesis 22, 1 through 18 is what we're looking at. And Abraham, God says here, is someone who loves his son deeply. You remember Isaac was a gift, the gift of God, the promise of God to Abraham that he would have a son. And it was way past his age and Sarah's age of having children. But God made a way where there was no way, and he does that still today. Verse 21 says, after these things, God tested Abraham and said to him, Abraham. And he said, here I am. And he said, take your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah. Offer him there as a burnt offering on one of my mountains, which I shall tell you. Now we are privy of this test. We get to see that it was a test. But Abraham didn't. God didn't say, I'm going to test you. God called him by name. Abraham answered, here I am. And God told him what to do. But the message that God told him, the command that God told him, and what he told him to do wasn't an ask. It was a, here, do this. Was unbelievable. It had to be the worst thing a parent, a father, could ever hear God say to do. It didn't make any sense. And what we see here is a record of what Abraham did. We don't get to see exactly how he felt about it. It's not written here. We don't get to see exactly what he was thinking. He didn't write down this. It was a record of what actions he took in obedience to God. We do get to see a few moments where he has, like, opened up a moment of where we can see he has hope. But he's obeying God. So Abraham did this. He rose up early in the morning, saddled his donkey, and took his two young men with him and his son Isaac, and he cut the wood for the burnt offering, and he rose. My pages are sticking. And went to the place where God had told him. That's obedience, isn't it? He didn't question. I didn't see any questioning. Nothing of that. It doesn't show that. He did what God told him to do. And on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place from afar. Now this took a minute, didn't it? It took a few days. Quite a few minutes. But if you're talking to an adolescent today, it's just a minute. It takes a few days for him to get there. I couldn't imagine the thoughts were going through his head as he's watching his son walk with him. And I couldn't imagine the thoughts. It's unimaginable to give up your child. This is my son-in-law and Emma, my grandbaby. I couldn't imagine him giving her up. And taking a 3-day journey to get to a place where God told him to go and told him he would show him where it was. It's kind of walking out into the unknown with a terrible known command. Reminds me of Jesus, the Son of God. Doesn't it you? Abraham obeyed God. Then Abraham said to his young men in verse 5, stay here with the donkey, and the boy and I will go over there and worship and come again to you. There's hope. Because he said, the boy and I are going to go over here and worship God, and we're going to come back to you again. He trusted God all the way because he knew that God had promised him Isaac. He knew the promise that God had given him. Despite the unknown, despite the test that was happening, he obeyed God and trusted him. Verse Verse 6 says, Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it on Isaac, his son, and he took in his hand the fire and the knife. So they both of them went together, and Isaac said to his father, Abraham, my father? He said, here am I, my son. To me, this very heavy moment. Behold the fire and the wood, but where's the lamb for the burnt offering? He knew enough. He knew enough to know that something was missing. How can we worship God without the lamb? How can we worship God without the sacrifice? Even Abraham's son, his son knew this, this young lad. Abraham said, God will provide for himself the lamb for the burnt offering, my son. There's another moment of hope in the voice of Abraham. Another example of trusting God all the way. So they went, both of them together. Abraham trusting God and his son Isaac trusting his father. And when they came to the place which God had told him, Abraham built their altar there and laid the wood on the altar. I can't imagine the next moment. And he bound Isaac, his son. He bound him. I can't imagine we don't get to know how Isaac felt. I figure perhaps this was a very solemn moment. Perhaps it was quietly done. Now, if it was one of my grandchildren, certainly wouldn't be a quiet moment. They would have kicked and screamed and fought, but Isaac trusted his dad and his dad God. Trusting God, obeying God. So he bound him. He didn't just bound him. And he laid him on the altar, on top of the wood. This is getting intense and serious. Abraham reached out his hand and took the knife to slaughter his son. All the way, trusting God all the way. Remember his words to his son, God will provide. Abraham would have went through with it all the way, but God stopped him. The angel of the Lord stopped him. Verse 11 says, but the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, here I am. He said, do not lay a hand on the boy or anything, or do anything to him, for now I know that you fear God, seeing you have not withheld your son, your only son from me. And Abraham lifted his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him was a ram caught in the thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered it up as a burnt offering instead of his son. So Abraham called the name of that place, the Lord will provide. And that's the way God is with us. And in the study of this, there's such deep richness to dig into. We're not going to do all that today. But I want you to see today that God will provide. He's a father like that. He's a father that we can trust in. And he's a father that we can obey. He is our heavenly Father. He created us for a purpose. And you know what? You're never too young and you are never too old to serve God fervently with all your heart. You're never too young when you give your life to the Lord to start glorifying God. And you're never too old. He does not retire us. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. There's no doubt that Abraham loved Isaac, and there's no doubt that he trusted and obeyed God with this example that we see here. There's another example in Scripture. We're going to turn over to the New Testament. 1 Corinthians 4 is where we're going. 1 Corinthians 4, if you want to turn in your Bibles with me. And I'm going to read verses 14 through 16 this morning. This is a different kind of example of a father. We're looking at Paul. 1 Corinthians 4, 14 through 16 says this. I do not write these things to make you ashamed, but to admonish you as my beloved children. That's Paul speaking to the Corinthians, the church. For though you have countless guides in Christ, you do not have many fathers. For I became your father in Jesus Christ through the gospel. I urge you, be imitators of me. Paul is saying, be an imitator of him as he is following Christ. Paul calls himself a father to the people of the church there in Corinth. He is discipling those. He is an apostle sent. But he calls himself father. He called Timothy his son. There are different ways of fathering. And when we're children, we imitate our parents, our fathers. We will imitate our dads. Sometimes I can't even tell the difference between Glenn walking down the driveway and Roger because they walk the same. They're kind of built the same. We imitate our fathers. We are at, like the image of them in so many ways. We see things genetically. And here we see Paul pouring his life into the church. And he is a father to those that he is pouring his life into. In Christ. Because of Christ. In the family of God. And that's the family we are in today. Glory be to God. So when we disciple others, and I look at many of you who have poured into my life, and I feel that way. Different moments, different times, the things we say to people to lift them up. We are discipling them, mentoring them. We want them to follow us in the good things that we do, following Christ. Being a father, like Father Abraham. They would call Isaac a father. He is a father to those under him in the Lord. Then they came next. And inside the church, as we disciple others, it's kind of an example of that same thing Paul described here. Now, our Heavenly Father is the next one I want to talk with you about. And we read Psalms 103:13. Now, all of these things I've already talked to you about is because of him. He is the great Father, the Heavenly Father, our Creator. He takes such good care of us. Psalms 103:13 says, as a father has compassion on his children. Just like the fathers that we know have compassion on their children, as you see that in fathers, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. I remember my dad and my mom saying, I don't want you to be afraid of me, but you need to respect me. They were teaching us not to fear in a way that was like, you couldn't go and talk to them. But to be respectful, have a reverence. And we're talking about that today. God is compassionate to us. Certainly when we know who he is. And we can't know him without Christ. God knows us. According to Matthew 6:8, he is mindful of us. Matthew 6:8 says, your father knows what you have need of before you ask him. That's very mindful. He is watching us. Moment by moment, day by day, he knows before we fall down if we're going to trip. He knows. He knows exactly what we have need of. And he is here for us. The next verse is Matthew 6:9 says, this is how we ought to pray. God is so approachable. Our Heavenly Father is not someone who is far away from us where we cannot talk to him, because Jesus made a way where we can go boldly before him and talk to him. Just like I can come to my dad and talk to him. Just walk right up and talk to him. Matthew 6:9 says, this then is how you ought to pray. Knowing this, that God knows what we need before we even ask, this is how we ought to pray. Daddy, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Acknowledging him for who he is. He is our Father who art in heaven, and hallowed be his name. We can ask him to become involved in our life, even though we know he already knows we need him. And yet he wants us and desires us to come and ask. That's a desire of a relationship. Now, he don't need it. He doesn't have to have it. He's God. But he wants it. He wants us to talk with him, to walk with him. He wants to share with us. He wants to bless us. He don't want to withhold things from us that are good. He wants to be able to give us the good. He wants a relationship with us. He wants us to be a part of his family. He wants the best for us. Turn with me to Chapter 1, verse 29, Deuteronomy, if you will. It's all the way back. Deuteronomy 1:29-31. And this part is a description of what God had said to them and done for them in the midst of the rest of the chapter, which talks about Israel rejecting God. Today we're not going to focus on the rejecting God part, but I want you to look into these verses this morning. Deuteronomy 1:29-31 says, then I said to you, God reminding them, do not be terrified. Do not be afraid of them. That would be the enemy, whomever they are. The Lord your God, who is going before you, will fight for you. He, as he did in Egypt, before your very eyes, in the wilderness. There you saw how the Lord your God carried you as a father carries his son all the way you went until you reached this place. God carries us. He's sovereign. If you are his child, he orders your steps. Now, that doesn't mean he's going to make you do it. Abraham could have rejected God, but for the love of God, he did not. Because he trusted God at his word, he seen God move, he had faith in God. And because of his faith in God, his actions showed in his obedience to God. James 4:8 says that faith without works is dead. He says, show me your faith. I'll show you my faith by my works. The works are not going to get us to heaven, but when we trust God, like Abraham trusted God, that would take us all the way, even beyond what we think. Oh, we don't even know what that looks like over there. It seems unbelievable. And God may test us. True, he doesn't tempt us, but he may test us. And he wants us to obey, matter-of-factly. Don't second-guess him. Just obey him. And believe me, when God speaks to you, you'll know. He will show you. Steps of the righteous are ordered by God. Righteous man. John 3:16, we know. For God so loved the world. For God so loved the world. Our heavenly Father so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. That whosoever would believe in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Oh, how much God loves us. He loved Jesus. He was well pleased with Jesus. And he loves us. And we can call him Abba Father. He takes care of us by providing for us. He sees our every need. He welcomes us to come to him. We are able to come to him even if we do something we should not do. He still welcomes us to come. We must come repenting. And we need to walk in a relationship with him, in repenting relationship with him, continually. No, don't turn around. Continually repenting in our... No, don't turn around. Relationship with God. Walking closer and closer with him. He wants you to walk closer with him all the days of your life, every breath that you take. A little closer. Just a little, come on, a little closer. A little closer. Don't let anything in the world distract you from your God and your relationship with your heavenly Father. Don't let anything in the world distract you from your relationship in this family of God. He provides. We can call him Abba, which means Father. Abba. I love calling my daddy, daddy. And I thank God for that. I love calling my heavenly Father, Father. And oh, the wonderful joy there is in knowing. In knowing. We can know him. He is not someone who abandoned us. He's not someone who rejects us. When we come to him in a repentant heart through Jesus, he is welcoming. He made the way for us. The plan is his, and there is no second plan just in case the first one didn't work. It's always been the plan from the beginning of time. Before the fall of man, God did not see Adam fall and say, oh, now I got to come up with plan B. No, he knew. He already made a way for his glory and the glory of his great name's sake. Galatians 4:6 says, because you are his sons, God sent his Spirit, the Spirit of his Son, into our hearts, the Spirit who calls out, Abba, Father. Romans 8:15 says, the Spirit you received does not make you slaves so that you live again in fear. Rather, the Spirit you received brought you to adoption, to sonship. And by him we cry, Abba, Father. Praise the Lord. He provides our needs. Matthew says this. Matthew 6:25 through 27. Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life. What you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food? And the body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow, they do not reap, they don't have to store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father, he feeds them. You are you not much more valuable than they? Can any one of you be worrying about a single hour of your life, can it change anything? God says, draw nigh unto me, and I will draw nigh to you. You need not worry, do you? I don't have to worry. Anytime that old worrying Lisa comes around, I can tell her to go on. Don't be worrying. I have a voice that helps me with that. God certainly does. But then there's Roger. He helps me as well. We do not have to worry, fear. We just need draw near. We just need draw near. Let's all stand.